Good morning and thank you for being here on a it's beautiful right now. It's raining this morning, but it's beautiful right now, and hopefully it'll remain that way through the rest of the day. And we're so thankful that all of us can be here. We know that Bill and Debbie both are out, and we need to keep them in our prayers each and every day. Brethren, there's a lot of talk today about the kingdom of God. Most people seem to think it would be a physical kingdom set up and established in the city of Jerusalem at the return of the Lord. That Jesus will reign as king over that kingdom for a period of 1,000 years from the literal throne of David. Now think about this. I don't know what that throne's made out of, but today it would be around 4,000 years old. Nobody knows when this whole earth will come to an end. It might be tomorrow, it might be a million years, it might be a trillion years. We don't know. But that throne of David's going to be old. Depending on who you talk to, some believe that all the Jews will be part of that old kingdom and that the Old Testament worship will be reestablished. This means the temple will be rebuilt and even the Levitical sacrifices of the Old Testament will be reestablished. But my friends, I'd like to tell you that I am a citizen of that kingdom right now. Paul wrote in Colossians 1:13, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Translated us where, Paul? Into the kingdom of his dear Son. So we're in the kingdom now. When I obeyed the gospel, I was delivered from the power of darkness and I was translated into the kingdom of the Lord. He is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, as Paul writes in 1 Timothy 6:15. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 12:28, "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably and with reverence and godly fear." I am part of that unmovable kingdom. And when the Lord Jesus returns and judgment takes place, I will be delivered up to the Father along with all my fellow citizens in that blood-bought, glorious kingdom. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter with me, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You remember what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 24? "Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power." So in view of all the speculations and teaching that is so prevalent in today's concerning the kingdom of the Lord, it is important that we have a definite concept of what that kingdom is not. What that kingdom is not. So many today are trying to equate the kingdom of the Lord or to identify the kingdom of Christ with things which they are familiar with. The problem is the kingdom is not like all the other kingdoms established by men. His kingdom is unlike anything the world has had or before or since. I want you to notice the following points concerning some distinctive features of this spiritual kingdom. For instance, first, it did not originate in this world as the physical kingdoms do. Daniel 7:3 through 17. Second, it does not have a worldly laws. The kingdom's laws, which are divine in origin, are written in men's heart. Hebrews 8 and verse 10. Third, it is not a physical kingdom. Matthew 4:8. Its soldiers and armor are not worldly, and neither are its weapons. Matthew 26:51-54. Fourth, its mission and designs are not worldly, but spiritual. Fifth, its citizens are not permitted to aim for positions of prestige and power. Rather, the king has commanded them to be humble. Matthew 18:1-4. And sixth, its subjects are the people in the world, but they are not of the world. John 15, verse 18 and 19. And seventh and finally, this kingdom subjects are not armed with battle tools to physically oppose civil governments. The dissimilarities are much more pronounced than any similarities that might exist between the kingdom of man and the kingdom of our Lord. The interesting thing is that if folks would just look at what the Bible tells us the kingdom is not, and I mean in just those words, then a lot of this harmful speculation about it would be done away with. So let's talk about what the kingdom of Christ is not. First of all, it is not with observation. How do we know that? Well, come with me to Luke chapter 17, if you would. Luke 17. In Luke 17, there we find, beginning in verse 20, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." The Jews of the first century were looking for an earthly Messiah who would come and lead them in the overthrow of the Roman government and usher in a new and glorious kingdom on earth, complete with pomp and ceremony and displays that accompany the kingdoms of man. That's what the Jews were expecting. That's what they wanted. But Jesus made the point that the kingdom would be much different than that. It would not be visible to the human eye in the sense of being able to say, here's where it starts and here's where it ends. The kingdom of the Lord was to be within. In the hearts of the Lord's disciples, and His force would be exerted by the godly lives and examples of its citizens. It lies beyond the providence of eyes and ears and cannot be evaluated by that which is seen and heard. The kingdom is not fancy buildings with all the latest technological gadgets. The cathedrals and shrines and church buildings do not present the kingdom of God. These are visible things that man builds. The kingdom of God is within the hearts of those who have obeyed the gospel wherever they might be. I'm reminded of what Paul said on Mars Hill in Acts 17:24. Do you remember that? Let's look at it together. Acts 17 and verse 24. The passage says in Acts 17 and verse 24, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands." He doesn't dwell in the beautiful cathedrals or buildings, but in the hearts of His obedient disciples. Christ lives and He reigns today, but don't look for physical boundaries and thrones and such like. His kingdom is not with observation. Come with me to 1 Corinthians 4, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. The second thing I would like for us to notice is that the kingdom is not found in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 20. Paul wrote, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." Notice now, it is not in word, but in power. So what does that mean? What does it mean? Well, brethren and friends, the kingdom of God is not now and never has been, nor will ever depend upon man's oratorical gifts. Great speakers may stir multitudes of people, but it is the simple gospel message that saves man. And I want you to look with me at Romans 1 and verse 16, a familiar passage, but it's one that I love. Romans 1 and verse 16. Paul wrote to the Romans, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that sinneth, everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." That power has not changed, brethren, and it never will change. The kingdom of God advances today only by the power that the gospel affords. Many people today make great claims, build massive buildings, travel thousands with their recreational and social functions, and all say that all these things are necessary to appeal today's men and women. But whatever it is, let me tell you, it is not the kingdom of God. Let's look together what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians 2 and verse 1-5. Paul said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." In the power of God. Remember what was written many, many years ago? Psalms 127 and verse 1 says, "Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain to build it." Think about it. How simple that is. That's true today. It'll always be true. "Anything built up by that which is not the gospel of Christ is surely not that kingdom that He established. All preaching becomes just vain words, no matter how well it is presented. When we depart from the simplicity that is in Christ, the beautiful gospel of our Lord, the power of God unto salvation." And for our third observation about what the kingdom is not, let's turn to Romans 14 and verse 17. Romans 14 and verse 17. There Paul wrote, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." The eating and drinking of some of the saints in Rome had proven to be a stumbling block to some of the weaker saints. They were eating things sacrificed unto idols, and some just could not see that the idol was nothing. Paul reprimanded them for it. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul reprimanded them for it, and he pointed out that the kingdom of God is far more than social enjoyment. He wrote to those who were preventing the Lord's Supper and turning their observation that is part of the kingdom into a common meal, a social function. Here's what he wrote in verse 22. "What? Have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not." Now drop down to verse 34. "And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation." Brethren, the kingdom of God is not the panacea or all for all healing, for man's natural wants and desires. It is a spiritual kingdom, ministering to the needs of the soul. The needs of the soul. Its mission is not intended to satisfy man's whims, his wants, or his wishes, but only to accomplish God's eternal purpose. It is not an organization to provide fun, food, and frolic or recreation. It is not a social or recreational club. It does not engage in business ventures or in entertainment business. Its mission is not to provide for any of man's fleshly lust. The kingdom of Christ, or the church of Christ, is a spiritual body ruled over by a spiritual head, governed by a spiritual law, and functions in spiritual matters such as worship and fellowship, the work Christ has given the church to do. Why can't people understand this? Why can't they? I just don't know. Turn to John chapter 6 and we'll look at verse 63. John 6 and verse 63. John 6. Verse 63. You remember the words of Jesus in John 6:63? To so many of those who had followed him because he had fed them with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Remember that? He said, "It is the spirit that quickeneth; the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." He said, "My words are spirit. My words are life." It's fine and good for Christians to get together socially and to break bread together from house to house. And it's wonderful for Christians to enjoy the recreation together with those of like precious faith. But, brethren, the purpose of the kingdom is much different than this. The kingdom of God ministers to the soul. The kingdom of God ministers to the soul. It is the pillar and ground of the truth. For the fourth and final point this morning's lesson concerning what the kingdom is not, I'd like for you to turn with me to a discussion that took place between the Lord and Pilate in John chapter 18. John chapter 18. When you get to John 18, we'll be reading verses 33 through 36. There the Bible says, "Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." This forever defines the kingdom as a spiritual kingdom, not an earthly or political one. So why do folks continue to look for a physical earthly kingdom? Why do they continue to turn their attention to the physical Jerusalem and the physical land of Palestine when that was not and is not the nature of the kingdom that Jesus came to establish? He is king over a spiritual kingdom, and this kingdom is supreme no matter where citizens are located all over the world. Yes, we are to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And we are to be subject to the higher powers, as we find in Romans 13 and verse 1. But the truly important aspect of life, which is spiritual, centers in the kingdom over which Jesus reigns now as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It was ignorance, just plain ignorance of the nature of his kingdom that led the Jewish leaders to charge Jesus in this way in Luke 23 and verse 2. Let's look at that. Luke 23 and verse 2. Just plain ignorance of this kingdom. The Bible says in Luke 23 and verse 2, We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ the King. Pilate's response, I find no fault in this man. Pilate recognized that Jesus was not in competition with Caesar. His was a different kind of kingdom. And I don't think Pilate knew what it meant, but he knew it was not of this world. And it was just ignorance, just plain ignorance of the nature of the kingdom of our Lord that led some to accuse Paul and those with him with these words in Acts 17 and verse 7, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. Just plain ignorance. And it's ignorance of the nature of the kingdom that causes so many today to look for a thousand-year reign, a thousand-year kingdom here on earth, with Jesus reigning as an earthly king over an earthly kingdom from the literal city of Jerusalem. It is ignorance of the nature of the kingdom that people believe this and teach it. I want you to turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, where you get there's lengthy reading. First Thessalonians chapter 4. Now Paul testified that Christ will not return to reign on earth when he wrote these words, 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. Verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now I want us to notice a special attention. Verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Brethren, I'm telling you, according to Paul, Christ will never, ever, ever set foot on this earth again. But I tell you what, Paul belonged to a greater and higher kingdom, and so do I, and so do you. In Philippians 3:20, he wrote, for our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to close this morning's lesson by turning to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews chapter 12. We'll read verse 22 through 28. Hebrews 12, verse 22. The Bible says, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the holy city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signified the removing of those things that are shaken, as of the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Verse 28, brethren, assures us that we have received a kingdom that cannot be moved. It is unshakable, and it will stand forever. Citizens of this unshakable church, the Church of Christ, should be thankful for this and serve God with reverence and awe. In conclusion, this kingdom is solely spiritual in nature. It has a divine builder, Christ. It is a spiritual and divine purpose to spread the gospel of Christ to all nations so that souls may be saved. To make it anything else goes beyond the doctrine of Christ and disgraces this blood-bought institution. God does not force man into believing or doing anything against the will of man, and man cannot force God into doing or believing anything against his will. It's just that simple and final. It's my hope and my prayer through this lesson that each of us understand what the kingdom or the Church of Christ is not. Today, while you have time and an opportunity, obey the gospel and become a subject in this divine kingdom. Truly, this kingdom is out of the world. This kingdom is out of this world. And God has made the terms of salvation so simple to us. This can be accomplished by repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and then be baptized for the remission of your sins. Live faithfully unto death, then you'll receive that crown of life that Jesus promises. If you're a member of the kingdom of God, the Church of Christ, and have sinned in a way that others are aware of, you can take care of that this morning too by coming forward. After you pray to God, let us pray with you and pray for you. If we can help anyone in any way make their life right with God, please come now as we stand and as we sing.